Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on The Conversation, a stabbing at a Minnesota mall, bombings in New Jersey and New York, and the media, I think, is more concerned that we're calling them bombings. I think Obama's really mad because ISIS took responsibility, so he can't delay it like he always does. Well, what did the media say anyways? What did they say? I think it was one of the guys in the Congress that said that maybe we should stop reporting on this stuff. No, it just all go away. Trump says that Hillary Clinton's Secret Service details should be disarmed. And let's see what happens. It was blown way out of proportion. I'll get into what he really meant and what's going on with that and much more. Also, Pope Francis says welcoming more refugees is the greatest security against terrorism. Do you agree with that? Whole Foods is not backing down as a Muslim is complaining that he's not able to pray the five times a day he has to while doing his job. Should he be allowed to? My thoughts on that. The IRS filings are showing that the Clinton Foundation was spending millions and millions of dollars on travel and all kinds of things, and hardly any of it was going to any type of charitable organization except for maybe Chelsea Clinton's apartment. You know, she needs a couple hundred million. Why not? Also, Man United is not on winning ways. What do they need to do with spending the kind of money they did? And also, the IndyCar season came to an end. Who won? And my thoughts on that race and so much more. So thank you for tuning in to the conversation that you're a part of. Psalms 91. This I declare about the Lord. He is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. Think about that as you're going through your day to day, folks, and welcome. What a week we've had. Pardon me. The weekend was incredible. If you don't believe in God, he was there. In Jersey, there should have been runners on a marathon, Marines. And because of delays in stuff happening, the bomb went off without anyone on the track. Now, if that's not God, I don't know what it is. And near Chelsea, another bomb went off. And there are 29 people reported injured. And the terrorist that has been caught, Ahmad Khan Ramadi, has a $5 million bail. And he's already been charged with five counts of attempted murder of a police officer and everything. And honestly, I think Obama's mad. You can say what you want, but ISIS has claimed responsibility. Obama's used to saying, well, folks, we cannot jump to conclusion. Don't know all of, we can't just jump. We got to wait till all the facts are in. And by the time anything were to happen, guess what? He's moved on. He's moved on. ISIS claimed responsibility. Now I didn't know what to do. Donald Trump and everyone on the right is calling it what it is, a terrorism attack. It's a terrorism attack. The person that did New York did New Jersey. They tried to kill Americans. They tried to injure Americans. It doesn't matter. If my wife hypothetically was to try to kill Americans with a bomb, she would be a domestic terrorist. If I was to do it, I'd be a domestic terrorist. You're a terrorist no matter what. It doesn't have to be. You could be a Nazi German and want to kill Americans and you'd be a terrorist. it's nuts that the media is what is. Let me see if I can. If you ever watch The Five on Fox, it's crazy because Greg Gutfeld basically said, hey, you know, the media is more upset that we called it a bomb than the bombing. You know, they're more concerned about the fact that we're calling it a terrorist event, a bombing. You know, they're more upset about that than that. Then they are worried about the fact that, hey, ISIS tried to kill Americans. But then again, a lot of the media has, guess what? They have a biased agenda. You know, they don't, you know, they really have a biased agenda. And it's just, I don't, it's sad that you need people like me and The Blaze and Young Turks and InfoWars to get the news out that, and WikiLeaks. It's sad. Like, Sean Hannity says this a lot, and it's, I apologize for him because he shouldn't have to say it. But media, I mean, I support him 1,000,000%, though. Journalism is dead. There's no journalism anymore. Here you go. Here's $100 million. You tell the news we want you to tell. You report what we want you to report. So, hey. It's ridiculous. I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't understand. You know? I don't get it. You know, I expect North Korea to be someplace where they, where the country tells you that they won the, because I watched this video and it's scary. Watch this video. It's like 4 minutes long and it's like 10 things all North Koreans believe. I mean, like in 2010, they were told they won the World Cup. And I mean, I feel like that's where this country is going. That's why you need, that's why I tell people, do your due diligence. Listen to me, listen to InfoWars, listen to The Blaze, listen to Fox, listen to, and come up with your own conclusion. Watch the BBC. Do your own homework. Don't just take one media's word for it or whatever. Wow. It's nuts. But that's where we're at, folks. That's where we're at, you know. That's why we have people like me that are, that want to know the truth. I was watching last night. I was soaking in the tub because I was really sore. And with the technology you have, you can watch videos and stuff. And I was watching something on the, and I about wet myself in the bathtub because I was watching this video on gold. And it was a National Geographic thing. And they got access to the Central Bank of America. What do you mean? America would never want a central bank. Oh, yeah. It's called the Federal Reserve. But the guy in the documentary called it what it really is, the central bank. This is what's going on in this country. No one in their right mind would have supported a central bank. So what do they, what do they do? Well, we'll say that the American people have control of the money, and we'll call it the Federal Reserve. Well, no one's going to want a single-payer healthcare system. Well, let's make Obamacare, and then we'll switch it into a single-payer health system. And I think that's what Trump might do, put it in a single, because no one's going to want a single-payer health system. But how do we make it happen? No one's going to sit there and vote for net neutrality. They tried to pass it under Radio and Communication Acts for years. But no one would, how can we reword it? How can we reword it so that they will pass it? I mean, seriously, I don't get it. You know, and I hope there is due diligence and people out there that have, I hope there's not a lot of Mr. Obviouses out there. I hope there's a lot of Captain Common Senses that try to use their own brain and think for themselves. You know, vote for Hillary Clinton. Great. Know what she stands for. Know she wears a $12,000 Armani jacket and says, I know what you go through. You don't know what I go through. My wife can kind of understand what I go through with my myopathy, but she doesn't know 100% what I go through. And I don't know what she goes through with some of hers, you know, because with like she has fibromyalgia. And I don't understand a lot of that, you know. How can someone like Hillary that has $100 million net worth understand what I'm going through? You know, I was asking my wife this the other day, what do you think Obama would have said about 9/11? How would he have spun that? Because, I mean, it can't be a terrorist attack. He did recently come out and say, and I quote this, if we were treating Muslims better than we are, 9/11 wouldn't have happened. But I am glad to see a lot of people, Muslim that is, come out saying, where is Obama? Why isn't he condemning these bombings in New Jersey and New York? Why isn't he condemning the stabbing? I'm a Muslim, but I'm against these people. My religion does not tell me to kill. It's a radicalized ideology that has no, you know. And I'm like, where are, you know, and I support those people that come out and stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. I may be Muslim, but I'm not. I don't support radical Islam and all these terrorism. I mean, we got Steve Urkel for a president that, well, we don't have all the facts in, and now he doesn't know what to do because ISIS claimed responsibility right off the bat. Supposedly, the terror suspect, his dad, told the FBI that he suspected that when he went over to Pakistan, Afghanistan, he had been radicalized and all this stuff. So, but I guess everything vetted out when they went through all the processes and everything. Hey, sorry, we let him go. But don't worry, because I'm sure the Clinton Foundation will be able to give $5 million plus to get him out of jail. And if not, Obama will pardon him. You know, it's just, I mean, I believe there was God there, because, you know, that's why no one was hurt during that New Jersey incident. And to all my supporters out there, stay deplorable, my friends. Stay deplorable. You're smarter than what the media gives you credit. And I love it. I love the... It's just nuts, because they've had issues with Trump where CNN will say Trump said this, and when you look at the transcripts, it's scary how they try to spin what he's saying and what he's doing. It's crazy. Because Trump said this. He goes, Hillary Clinton's Secret Service detail should be disarmed, and let's see what happens. And they're like, well, Trump wants to kill Hillary and all this, and she, you know, he's like putting like a target on her head and saying people should go after and try to kill Hillary and all this BS. And I'm like, Hillary thinks she should have, this is the standard that I live by, and this is the standard that, let me see here, you live by. I should have a different standard than you. If you want to confiscate all the guns there, Hillary Clinton, and you want to get rid of the Second Amendment, right? Well, that's fine and dandy, but why should you have 50 people following you around with guns protecting you, but I can't have a gun to protect myself? It's just amazing, because there is a parliamentary leader in Germany that is asking and demanding that the German citizens should have the right to bear arms to protect themselves. Gee. England says F you to the EU, and England elects the Conservative Party candidate. It's amazing how all these countries are going back to the way our country used to be. Probably because they've lived like Hillary Clinton wants, and they know it doesn't work. You know, I'm not going to sit there and say, well, let me see here. Let me find a restaurant that fails, and I'll use that. I'll use that system and to run my restaurant. I'm not going to look at Kmart and say, well, what are they doing? I'm going to run my superstore like Kmart did. No, I'm going to look at what is Meijer and Walmart doing? Why are they so successful? You know, you want to run your country successfully. And I think a lot of these countries are seeing the negative effects of free handouts to everybody and free everything, that they're like, wait a minute, we have to have limitations here. Look at how much violence is going on, and we have total control of guns. You can't own a gun. Look at what went on in France and Paris and Nice. And you can't, it's impossible to own a gun. And there's, I think they're starting to wake up. You know, nobody should have a double standard. Well, then look at Nancy Pelosi. Well, she got waivers for that Obamacare and all these people. You know, okay, if I have to live under Obamacare or be penalized, why shouldn't they be penalized? Why shouldn't they have to live under the same rules as everybody else? I mean, I don't get it. I really don't get it. But, I mean, that's the world we live in. We have a media that's bought out. Why do you think tobacco companies went for as long as they did? They went for as long as they did because they were paying people off. Well, hey, we give you a private Learjet, a condo in Vail, this and that. Oh, yeah, you're not gonna vote that law and to try to make it harder to sell tobacco. Nuh-uh. You know, it's like pharmaceutical companies. The one time I was reading this, I was watching this special, and they said that this one pharmaceutical company for this drug they made $8 billion, $6 billion that they made in profits, and they paid $2 billion out in the lawsuit. And they said, I guess that $2 billion is just the cost of doing business. You know, it's not like, wait a minute here. Who cares that people died or got injured or whatever, or have permanent problems? And, you know, here's $1 million. We're sorry about your kidney is permanently failing and you're going to die in here, but here's $1 million. Just the cost of doing business, you know? What the heck? Who cares, you know? As long as I got a $400,000 paycheck coming in every year, who cares if people get cancer from smoking? Oh, whatever. Let's just keep adding more carcinogens to the cigarettes. Why not? I'm making six figures. Who cares? It's the cost of doing business, you know? So what? We got to pay $1 million here or there to someone. That's where this country's headed. Who cares what the truth is anymore? As long as the Obama administration is giving me my six-figure salary, I'll report whatever I need to. There's no integrity anymore. When you see how much money they spend on attack ads for Donald Trump, name one accomplishment of Hillary Clinton. There isn't one. It's ridiculous. You could help a lot of people with these political ads. I'm serious. They need to sit there and, they need to have a game out of it. Here, each have $500,000 to use whatever you want and make a reality show out of the election. Seriously. When they spend billions and billions of dollars on advertising, somebody owes somebody something. I don't know too many people that are going to donate $100 million to a campaign and not expect something in return. You know, if you scratch my back, someone's going to eventually want their back scratched. And that's what's happening, you know. It's the government against the people, not for the people. They forgot who they're serving. You know, Pope Francis said that welcoming in more refugees is actually going to be a greater thing, and it's going to help protect against more terrorism. Do you agree on that? I don't know. If you have no way to vet, I would say no, because who knows who you're letting in? Who knows? Yeah, there might be some great, there are great Muslims out there, but if, like I've said before, take 1,000 Muslims. They can be great, but all you need is one Muslim to build some sort of explosive and kill 10,000 people, and those 999 other Muslims were meaningless. Meaningless. Because they did nothing. There were a lot of great Germans, but they were meaningless if they did nothing to prevent all the killings by Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. I mean, when we have issues with our own people, I mean, I don't mind helping people. But if you don't got the funds to help your own people, how can you help others? I mean, I help as much as I can, you know, and do what I can as much as I can. And anyone that wants to, you know, hook me up on Facebook and say, hey, I'm doing this. Can you give a shout out about this or that or going on or, you know, I'll have no problem helping out when I can, you know, but if you have no money, how can you help people? If you have people in your own country, your own citizens starving, how can you justify bringing in all these refugees? How can you? There's a big issue that arose. There's a big lawsuit being filed against Whole Foods because there is a Muslim that has complained that when he went to the meat department area, he was not able to take his 5 times a day. I guess they pray, and he's not able to do that, and he's claiming discrimination and all this. And do you agree or not? And if it's going to affect your work, I'm sorry. I'm a Catholic, but you know, and I'm a Christian, and my job, I will do my job. I'm not going to sit there, okay, well, I've never heard someone say, well, yeah, you're not allowing me an hour a day to pray the rosary. Sorry. You know, I'm suing you. I've never, if there's a lawsuit where someone was not able to pray the rosary and they were suing because they didn't have the time to pray the rosary during the day or spend 20 minutes praying or whatever outside their break, I've never heard of it. But if there is, shout out and let me know, all my listeners out there. I'd love to see if that's, I've never heard of it. When you have Muslims that, well, I can't even touch a package of bacon. Even though it's cellophane wrapped, I can't touch it. You're going to have to, well, what we're going to do is, this is going to be a line, and we're going to have a sign that says, no bacon going through this line, because we're going to have a Muslim cashier, you know, and we want to make sure that, you know, she, or if you come into this line with bacon, we'll have to switch to cashier for one transaction. I don't know. I've never heard of, like, a Jew saying they will not, like, ring up pork or whatever. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. I respect religion. But some stuff just borderlines, in my opinion, I'm ridiculous, and I'm a pretty reverent guy. I mean, if you got to sit there and spend, what I would do is I would let that guy pray. Okay, you're going to clock out, so you're not going to get that pay. So you're going to clock out every time you pray, and then when he gets a paycheck that's like minus like 10 hours, give him a 40-hour schedule, but then have him clock out every time he goes and prays. And then when he gets a 30-hour paycheck, problem solved. You want to get a 40-hour paycheck, you don't pray. You want to get a 30-hour paycheck, you can pray. Just ridiculous, I think, anyways. I don't know how many of my friends out there are like this, but I'm done with the NFL. I'm a 49ers fan, and I am, when Roger Goodell, the chief operating officer of the NFL, is like, I support these NFL players that are sitting down and kneeling and not actually respecting their nation and its anthem. I'm just so sick of it. I'm done. If you're going to support people that are disrespecting the country that they're... My dad was in the Presidential Honor Guard in the Coast Guard. My wife's dad was in the Army. There was a rally where a guy goes off on Bill Clinton. And he's like, what should we do about the VA? I'm like, what do you mean, what should we do about the VA? If you are a vet and you come home, you should be able to go to any hospital in this nation and get treated. No questions asked, no payments, no nothing. I have no problem at Denny's or anywhere paying for a vet's meal or buying them a coffee or thanking them for what they do. 90% of these vets come back and they're crapped on after they fought. A vet's going to go over and put his life on the line so you can disrespect the country that you live in? If you dis... Tim Tebow was like this. I support Kaepernick, but not what he's doing. I support if he feels there's, you know, injustice in this country and there is, you know, things wrong with this country, okay. I disagree with the way this country is trying to become a socialist nation, where this country is trying to become very, you know, socialist, where there's government run of everything. I'm against that. I'm against this Hillary Clinton style trying to take away the Second Amendment. But I am not going to be someone that's going to sit there and say, I'm not going to kneel during the national anthem. I'm not going to sit down during the national anthem. I'm not going to disrespect the national anthem just because I disagree with the way this country is trying to be taken. I'm going to stand like I was taught, with my hand on my heart, my arm behind my back, respect the people that have fought and died for this country. Like I've said before, someone who I think is one of the greatest Americans is Martin Luther King, and he did more for this country for the good, and he wasn't a politician. If you want to try to change for the better, change for the better. Don't sit there and disrespect your nation's flag or your nation's national anthem. I think Kaepernick was thinking he was going to be a Black Lives Matter hero, and it turned out he ended up being a zero. I really think he thought he was gonna have like the whole world cheering for him. The whole Black Lives Matter thing was just gonna be like kissing his butt, and it's like backfired. I think Black Lives Matter is starting to backfire because you have all these blacks coming out. Well, why aren't you standing in Chicago against all these black on black crimes? There's hundreds of black on black crimes. Cops, white cops killing black people is about a 16th of a percent of all the deaths of black people. And these are blacks coming out, you know? I don't get it. But something George Bush did say, because, well, George Bush started it with the war in Iraq. That's why we have ISIS. What did George Bush say in September 20th in 2001? Al-Qaeda is where terrorism begins, but it's not where it ends. Terrorism doesn't end until we get every terrorist cell, organization, group out there eliminated. Well, they act like, well, George Bush is the one that started all this. Well, there's some people that claim that, you know, because we went into Iraq and we got Saddam Hussein, which was an evil man, nothing great to say about him, that ISIS spread because they kept ISIS at bay. But George Bush at least was like, hey, we have a terrorist group on our hands. We have many. It's not just ISIS. There are tons of terrorist groups. There's like Al-Qaeda. More than just Al-Qaeda. There's many. He called it what it is. Now, Lord, we got to do something. We got people actually calling it a terrorist attack in New Jersey and in New York. They're calling it a bombing. What do we do? How do we spin this? I mean, what do we do now? ISIS already claimed responsibility. Okay, you're going to have to call the White House and go tell us what to report, okay? I mean, it's ridiculous. But then when you have IRS filings, as I move on, that show that the Clinton Foundation spent millions of dollars on travel and leisure and all this stuff, and hardly anything on... And last, from what I read, it basically said there was like nothing spent on charity. Well, if you mean like family, you know, I'm sure they gave a crap load of that to Chelsea for her apartment and, you know, all the stuff she has, you know. She's got to have that, you know, that part-time job making six-figure salary, making sure that no one touches that foundation money. You know, I'm so sick of the double standard where that, like, this is what I do and I'd be in prison and that's what Hillary does and she gets away with it, you know. I don't understand it, you know, why certain people have a separate a double standard. You know, some people say one thing and get away with it, and I say something and Lord forbid. But then again, like I've said before, you know, MSNBC said one time, they said, well, take Sarah Palin. If she was a Democrat, we'd kiss her butt. But then why don't we get a bunch of Tea Party gun-toting conservatives and have them say they're Democrats, and then, hey, maybe they'll be... And see what happens. That's what I really want to see. Get a bunch of like people in the Democratic Party that are like really conservatives and see what happens. Because then the liberal media will be supporting Second Amendment rights. They'll be supporting, you know, less government. They'll be supporting like lowering taxes, all kinds of stuff. They'll be backing all this stuff that now they hate just because of the party and what they're paid. I saw this, and this is great. There's a sign at a Texas school that says this, and I love this. Attention, please be aware that the staff at Mendia ISD may be armed and will use whatever force necessary to protect the students. That should be in every single college, elementary, or school in the United States. Are you going to sit there and I'm not going to go rob a... There's a place somewhere, and it's important, Michigan. It's like a barber shop, and they have like toolboxes and all this stuff. And that's, you know, when you go there, they do like straight razor shaves and stuff, and they have toolboxes. I actually wanted to get a straight razor shave there before my wedding, but I ended up just doing it myself because, I mean, we got up in the morning and did stuff, but decorated the hall and all that stuff. But they had like a thing that says, this place is armed. Nothing in here is worth your life. I'm like, yes, sir. They got my business. If I ever go back there, I'll patronize them all the day long. I mean, who's going to try to go in and attack a school when the staff is fully armed and ready to take down and been trained? And they do have things where, okay, you can have the gun set to, okay, it's got four fingerprints. That when it, if it reads mine, it'll only shoot if I have a fingerprint. So that you just can't have some kid take it and whatever the case may be, you know. But I want to thank you so much, all y'all, for tuning in, wherever you are out there. Thank you. I mean, I don't take y'all for granted, you know, my listeners out there. I really don't. It's just something that I love doing this, and that's why I do it. And it started as, if you're new to the conversation, from me talking, because somebody asked me what was going on because I have a myopathy, and it started from there. And after I got done explaining how I got diagnosed with my myopathy and everything, I'm like, okay, here we go. And I just kept doing it and talking about current events. And I had a great current event thing, but I'm not going to talk about it. I had a talk with my executive producer, and who I love to death, and she means the world to me. And she's 9 times out of 10 right. And so, you know, and I always run anything. I want to, hey, what do you think about this or that? And usually I think it's a great idea, but then I find out it's not a good idea or whatever. Is, you know, how you get some, well, this would be cool. Let's talk about this. And then it, Lord help me, why did I? And then when you think about it later, you just like, oops. But this is something that's very interesting. I want to move on to this really quick, because Paul Kambada, he is one of the IT specialists. And there's actually a Twitter thing that he put out. I think it was a Twitter message that he put online asking people, that he had a very, very, very VIP email server thing that he had to delete. And there's evidence that he was the one that posted it. It's not under his name or anything, but from everything we can tell, it's basically him saying, you know, him is, we, a liberal's not going to believe this, but every finger points to, he said, how can I need help. I need to completely, utterly delete a server to where the server is intact, but you can't retrieve any emails. But of course, why even bring these? Because it says, hello, all. I may be facing a very interesting situation where I need to strip out VIP's, very VIP's email address from a bunch of archived emails. And it goes on and on. And it's just like, he pleads the fifth. Due to my counsel has insisted that I do not. No, I'm sorry. If you get subpoenaed, you should have to talk. I plead the fifth. Sounds like those tobacco executives when they got summons that, I also believe nicotine is not addictive. Yes, I do. I do believe nicotine is not addictive. I mean, it's ridiculous. They call all these people and they subpoena these people like Paul. Well, I played the, my counsel says I shouldn't answer any questions, but I came here just because I would be in more trouble if I didn't even show up. So I figured I'd show up and just say, I'm not going to tell you anything. So Hillary Clinton has threatened to kill me if I say anything. So I better not say a word. I mean, that's what we're getting, folks, but that's the America you live in. That's the change you voted for. That's the change you voted for. I didn't vote for it, I'll tell you that much. I'm sorry, I didn't vote. I want my country back. You know. I grew up in a different age. I grew up in an age when you were taught to respect your elders. You were taught, okay, this is what you do for the pledge. Now, I mean, there was a coach, I think it was a Virginia team, that he had, like, this is how you stand for the national anthem, and this is why you respect the national anthem. You don't move. You don't do this. You don't do that. And I'm like, I praise him for what he did, but the fact that he had to do it with college kids, I mean, I'm not disrespecting anyone. I guess I grew up around a military dad that this is, you know, when I was in fourth grade, I think it was, I made an outfit with all kinds of swastikas on it and didn't even realize what they were. And my dad sat me down, like picked me up by both shoulders and chomp. So we're going to have a conversation. You're going to change that design. And when he explained what it meant and what it represented and all this, then I'm like, okay, I learned. But you have college kids that are like, you have to teach them this is why you respect the national anthem. This is why you do this. It's like, wow. I mean, I'm glad he did it, but to have to do it, you know, it's just one of those things that I don't know. I feel like I'm in North Korea where the media is being told what to report. You know, we had bombings. I'm more concerned about the fact that we've had terrorist attacks in this country, and I'm more concerned about the people that were injured or could have been injured. And the media just seems to be like, crap. They're calling it a terrorist attack. ISIS is claiming responsibility. Well, not. Oh man, we gotta. Now we actually get. Now we got. Now our job even gets harder because now we have to spin the fact that someone's already exposed what it really is. We can't sit there and say, well, we don't really, because we'll even look worse if we say, well, we don't know. We just can't jump to conclusions. If you ever saw the movie My Fellow Americans, it reminds me of that, where he's sitting there and he's like, well, do you think it's official, sir? Well, President Douglas conceded, so yes. That movie's hilarious. I love that movie because it's like a presidential movie. I love presidential comedies. They're hilarious. They're great, you know. But I think they're frustrated. Well, and this is how bad it's getting. Because Obama, I was watching the little thing he did today from the United Nations. And he's like, he calls for America to be bound by international laws and give up control. Yeah, I forgot to write it down when I was prepping my notes. But I was, the people where I work, they have on one of the rooms, they have a Fox News on all day, and I was listening to some of it, and it's just, well, he's basically, and I've said this before, he's trying to get it to where he wants to use like the United Nations and stuff to bypass our Constitution to ban guns and things. And it's scary. He's not really, I don't get it, you know. Call a spade a spade. It's a bombing. Call it that. How hard is that? Okay, we're America for a reason. It should, to anyone that's a liberal, it should be duly noted, okay, why is England electing a conservative party candidate? Why are they saying F you to the EU? Why does Germany have people there that now want that say their citizens should be armed? Why is Paris wanting to go to civil war with Muslims? Gee, it sounds like 180 degrees of what we're doing. We're sorry, Muslims. We won't act like, you know, Ronald Reagan would have been over there and bombed them that day. That day, Ronald Reagan would have been there. Okay, we took 17 million aircraft over there and bombed not Obama. Oh, we're sorry, Muslims. Don't bomb us, please. I don't get it. But that's an Obama for you. I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for his change. I wanted to have money, not change. We should just have, yeah, the United Nations is so great, we should just let them run our country. Wow, these are some of the things that Obama told the United Nations America is falling short of. In America, there's too much money in politics. Gee. Who had more donations than anyone else? Let me see here. There's also too much enriched partisanship. Too few Americans are civically engaged. A patchwork of laws in America set out to make it hard for Americans to vote. When 99% of every other country, you have to have a voting card or some sort of ID that is for voting. And if you don't have that, they won't let you vote. But here, oh, you're discriminating by making someone have an ID to prove who they are to vote. We give them 25 years, but still, you're racist by trying to give, make, how long does it take for someone to get an ID? It's been 4 freaking years. And you mean to tell me I'm racist because I think people should have IDs to vote? Considering our founders' ideas, America has made our share of mistakes over the last 25 years. The only way the world will become more secure is for powerful nations like America to accept constraints. Okay, that makes a heck of a lot of sense. The only way you're going to be free is if you give the government all your weapons and you bow down to them and your paycheck and everything else. For believing that all countries must adhere to certain international norms, many Americans criticize Obama. Well, of course, we're America. I don't want to live by other countries' rules. I want to live by my rules, America's rules. Sorry. Sorry if I want my country back. I mean, the Partridge Family bus left and some of us didn't get on because we were smart enough to realize the BS that the government and the liberals are throwing at us. Got about 10 minutes left in the program, and thank you all for tuning in. And, you know, I love the fact that a lot of my listeners, all of them are educated. They understand. And I sometimes realize you can't fix stupid. And duct tape doesn't even work. But I don't, I mean, he is saying what I said all along. If you go back to some of my shows a year ago, I talked about he wants to use the United Nations to bypass the Constitution. Here, we need to follow international law. Great, let's follow international law because Germany wants to arm its citizens. I'm all for that. Hey, we're going to follow international law. We'll get on board with England and bring in a conservative party. That's great. And then we can follow international law by following France, who wants to, that's right, have civil war against Muslims and extremists. There you go. 3 things we can do to follow international law that would piss Obama off. But hey, we're not here to kiss his butt. Wow, enough said. Enough said. I want to move on now, folks. And you ever buy a $20 scratch off and you go, you scratch off the thing and you're like, I lost. There went 20 bucks. I thought I was going to win the $1 million jackpot. I've done that a couple times just for the heck of it. I don't do it again. You know, I'll buy like $5 ones here or there, you know, like once or twice a year. Or if the Powerball gets up to like a 85 trillion, I buy a ticket, but that's about it, you know. But that's how I feel about United. Okay, we got Zlatan Ibrahimovic, we got Papagoa, we got Bailey, we got all these great players, and we are tanking. And a guy, James, a guy that I work with, he's like, he's a huge Arsenal fan. He's like, I know why we suck. I know why we suck. They've kept Austin Wenger. He should have been gone a long time ago. How can United suck? They've got one of the best managers. They've spent great money, got great players. I'm like, I'm not a huge Mourinho fan, but I mean, do they need to learn to play together? Because I think that, you know, I think they got to learn to, they got to get a little place where they all live together, okay? And they all got to make it to Old Trafford at the same time, but 20 people are going to have to learn to shave and shower and, you know, and they're going to have to learn to get along, you know, because right now they're in their $20 million pad having, you know, they need to learn to know, okay, well, at this time he's going, I grab the paper, I wipe for him. I mean, you got to know what he's thinking. You got to be able to pass the ball and know he's going to be here and he's going to do this. And I think, I mean, if they continue to slide and continue down this streak, then you got to look at the manager. But then look at what he did the last time he was at Chelsea. He barely kept him out of the relegation zone. But I'm not, but for me, I look at it like this. I'll wait till the end. I think we're going to be up and down. I think the whole league will. But at the end of the season or midway, that's where we'll get a good indication halfway into the season. You know, because look at like the Detroit Tigers. They can win 10 in a row to start the season, and then they'll lose 25 in a row. And what the heck? I mean, you started out 10-0 or 9-0, and then you lose like 7 or 8 in a row. It's like, I don't, you know, so, you know, we'll see. I mean, to lose to Watford, I don't know. It's just something's got to give. They've got the players. They've got the talent. They've got a decent manager. The most successful at Chelsea. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens as the season moves on. And it's kind of a heart-wrenching, you know, the final race of the Verizon IndyCar Series in Sonoma. And I was like, yeah, I'm at home. It's going to be on. It's going to be a great race. And Will Power had some engine troubles and stuff. And when that happened, basically, Simon Pagenaud, it would have taken a miracle. He would have had to, like, when that happened, he'd had to, like, wrecked out right then and there and not been able to continue. And it was like, yeah, Simon Pagenaud won, and Roger Penske went 1-2-3 in the championship with his drivers. But you know, I just wanted to see a close race. I wanted to see, you know, Will Power, like, to where it came down to the last couple laps. And it didn't happen, though. But, I mean, it was still a great race, don't get me wrong. But it's just like it would have been more exciting if it was a fight for the championship. I guess Will may have had the power, but his car didn't. It's my IndyCar joke, but you know, I just can't wait till next year, because I think Michaela Lotion, he's one that I think, look out, next year he's going to be on fire. you know, him. I mean, Simon Pagenaud should have won the championship no matter what. He was dominant all year. There wasn't one race except for Indy. Indy was the only race I don't think he did really anything. But then Indy 500 to me is almost like a separate race, like take it out and it's like its own season. Because it seems like everyone that's so good in IndyCar when they go to the 500, you know. But then when I go to the 500, most people don't even know what's going on with the series. And I'm like, I try to talk to somebody next to me, like, damn, they're just there for the 500. I'm like, oh, I'm just trying to see what's, I forget what the point standings are, you know, this or that. I'm like, yeah, I follow it. You know, I just don't go to one race. I follow it all season long. And, you know, and it seems like usually the person that wins the championship, usually the 500, they're like non-existent. But it's just one of those things, you know. It's good to see Roger Penske get 1, 2, 3, but I was just hoping for a better, closer race, you know. And I want to move on to something really quick. Something I always talk about. And with 2.5 minutes left, a girl that grew up in my neighborhood that I've known my whole life, and you lose contact with people and stuff. And I saw this picture on Facebook, and it was like Nicole Marshall. I'm like, I knew a Nicole Rushing, and when I read the article, it was her. And she, I guess, she died on the 17th. She was 41, and I always tell people, my mom one time had this girl that when she found out who my mom was, like, oh, I know your son. And, you know, if he would ask me out in high school or whatever, I would have dated him. He's a great guy. He's, because I don't really see myself as anything amazing, you know, but it's one of those things that, you know, I try not to take for granted. Because you never know. And I mean, I haven't seen her in like probably 10 years or so, but it's just when they're the same age you are and everything, and it just hits home that, you know, you never know when, you know, you're not guaranteed the next heartbeat. You know, what are they going to write about me when I'm gone? What are they going to write about you when you're gone? About 90 seconds left in the program, and just think about that. You know, I just, you know, don't. Be who you are. Do what you do. You know? Live your life. But because you never know when today's your last day. And I just, like, wow. You know? And I, every once in a while, I'd see her and, you know, we'd say hi and stuff and what's going on. But it's just, her age passes. It's just like another reminder, like, wow. Of how quickly it can all go, and never take it for granted. Always tell your mom or your wife or whatever you love her, buy her flowers, chocolates, whatever. Let her know she means something. You know, enjoy your friends. That's why I don't take any of my friends for granted. You know, whether it's Misty or Randy or any of them. You know, Angie, it don't matter, because, you know, you never know when they might need to lean on you or you need to lean on them. So thank you so much for tuning in to the program that you're a part of. And with a firm reliance on Providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next week on Tuesday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.